Hello, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. Where's the music? Hit the music, dude.
That's better. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve, broadcasting live on YouTube for Really American. It's time for another Political Week in Review, y'all. So strap on. Strap in. Or buckle up. It's going to be a wild ride. The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve and our Political Week in Review kicks off in 3, 2, 1. It's go time, y'all.
All right, I guess it's go time here, Sir Harness. Welcome to the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. How you doing today, Steven?
I'm good. I'm little on our screen. I can't fix that, so I don't know what that's
what are you talking about.
It's okay.
All right.
I'm a little guy. You're a big guy.
That's interesting.
And that's not a weight commentary. I'm not rude like that.
Now you're a big guy. Oh, you're a little low, dude, on your mic. So see if you can help me out with that.
Technical problems are how we start. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyways, welcome, everyone. It's a week in review here on a Monday, where it's a week in preview.
That's a nice way to put it, because I did think about, as we were coming on the air for a Monday podcast, that, we don't have a week's worth of stuff to talk about. But in this political climate, that doesn't seem to matter, because I've got just as many news stories today as I would on a Friday, for crying out loud. Thanks for being part of the resistance, part of the Vocal Minority. You know, you can see our website, thevocalminority.net. And yeah, we have a lot of socials, but the biggest thing that we have, Steve, is microphones. Everyone has a chance to get vocal, right? Mm-hmm.
That's the idea. We started this thing on the radio like 25 years ago, give or take. And we used to let people call in. Now you can comment in. And we do have a comment line if you want to leave a voicemail. We'll play it during the show, 844-48-VOCAL. But otherwise we're live on YouTube right now. So chime in. I do my best to read and multitask. We used to have a producer, but he ended up hating me and quit.
Oh, that was a sad story. You seem very demure today. You seem very just kind of mellow. Are you extra mellow today for a reason? Is there any reason you're feeling low, maybe?
It's a mellow Monday. I don't know what you're referring to.
Okay.
Just being me,
just
man.
Just being you. All right. Well, should we get into a little news? News action?
We can just sit here and debate my clothing and general energy level.
Let's talk about your clothing. You're wearing kind of a military drab today. Is that black or olive green under there?
Well, the shirt's olive green. Underneath, I'm rocking my KTM shirt. So, you know.
Very good. Well,
I'm trying not to mesh too many patterns together.
I get it.
So, just so everyone knows where I'm coming from.
Yeah. Well, everyone always makes comments on this YouTube Really American platform that what's that idiot doing broadcasting live from a sauna? I'm in a sauna, dude. I created this during COVID. I don't use a sauna, but today it is a sauna because it's 102 degrees in here right now. So if I pass out during the podcast, you'll have to go solo.
Well, this shows your commitment level. And, you know, Nick and I were in radio forever, and you often did say, man, the studio is like a sauna today. Like, what the hell's going on in here? Yet you literally are in a sauna, which is the best use for a sauna. I don't know who needs to just sit there and sweat, but you turning yours into a home studio looks good. But, yeah, on days like this, I don't know why it's so freaking hot in the Pacific Northwest, but good luck.
Climate change, dude. It's all about climate change. Let's get into a little news. I think you look fantastic today, BT Dubs, just so you know. So let's roll in.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Yes, yes, yes. Thanks, Paul. It is funny what you mentioned there, because when I started pulling through news today, I kind of wondered, we were just on Friday, how much has really happened in the last few days? I've got more stuff than we could possibly talk about in the next hour. So I want to start off with one that made news today and is a bit of a pet peeve of mine, and that is Trump declares that flag burners will spend a year in jail. No early exits. No early exits. No nothing. No nothing.
What is he basing that off of?
Do we get transferred to a minimum security jail?
Yeah, that's a solid point. We'll get into that story today as well. But what is he basing that off of? Why are we not allowed to burn the flag anymore? When did it become illegal?
Well, he's basing it on wishes and hopes and prayers, apparently, because there's a long list of problems with this. Maybe the first one is that he signed an executive order, and as we all know, executive orders are not laws. They're sort of wishes, mission statements. Right. And there is no law against burning flags. There is not going to be one. And there's 100 reasons here. First of all, this has gone in front of the Supreme Court on more than one occasion, including when Scalia was on the bench, who was ultra-conservative, and even he sided with the liberal justices at the time, saying, no, it's okay to burn the American flag. It's protest. It's freedom of speech.
I mean, we put them upside down to protest or, you know, show everyone that things are not doing well. We put the flag at half staff for certain things. Like, we use the flag for all sorts of messaging. I'm not one that has ever felt the need to or desire to want to burn the flag. But I think you should be able to do it.
Yeah, so I guess that's my first question for you. Are you one of these people that feels like burning the American flag means you're un-American, you should leave the country, you hate America?
I think there's more nuance to it than that. I mean, I think if you burn the American flag, I think there's a good chance that you hate the America that you're currently living in or the way that it's going. But as a whole, I don't think you hate America. I think that you're burning it for change, you know? I don't know. Why do people burn the American flag, dude?
Well, protest, you know, and obviously I would argue if you're protesting America, you must care enough about it that you're taking the time to protest. Mm. Otherwise, why would you really give a crap? And I don't think it means you hate the country or you should leave the country. I think it means you love your country and you're so upset by what's going on that this is a form of protest that you want to do. And that is a fundamental right in America. Freedom of speech, freedom to peaceably protest. It's why the Supreme Court has upheld it. And I think it's why Trump has tried to put a new spin on why we can't burn the flag. Did you hear this?
No, I didn't hear about it.
Yeah, it's a new line of garbage. He said today that this is very important, flag burning all over the country. They're burning flags all over the world. They burn the American flag. And as you know, through a very sad court, I guess it was a 5-4 decision, they called it freedom of speech. So he's referring to the Supreme Court. And actually, it was upheld twice, by the way. But then he goes on. He says, but there's another reason, which is perhaps much more important. It's called death. Because what happens when you burn a flag is the area goes crazy. If you have hundreds of people, they go crazy. You can do other things. You can burn this piece of paper. You can, and it's, but you burn the American flag. It incites riots at levels that we've never seen before.
Dude, I'm dumbfounded. I mean, is that what he said word for word?
Yes. I was trying to read it word for word and in my best Trump voice. So, yeah, that is what he said. At levels we have never seen before, when you burn the flag, riots break out. Apparently, every riot we've had in this country, what started it was someone burning the flag.
In all your 49 years, have you ever witnessed somebody burning a flag?
I mean, on TV.
Right, but in person?
I don't think I ever have seen it. No, I don't think I have.
Of course you haven't, because it hardly ever happens, dude. When he says, you know, he's notorious for doing that. People are burning flags everywhere. They're just lighting them on fire, burning flags. No, that's not true, dude. I mean, someone might be burning a flag somewhere. I guess that's more important to the story. And they're allowed to do that. You don't have to like it. This is a party that can't make up their mind about the flag. Okay, respect the flag. Don't take a knee during our national anthem. Don't protest with the flag. Don't hang it upside down. But I'm going to put it on this Budweiser bikini, and I'm going to wear it wherever I want to because I'm celebrating America and I'm a patriot. They can't seem to make up their mind what the flag actually stands for.
Right. So there's a few things you just brought up there. First of all, let's talk about the flag code for a second. First and foremost, you are not supposed to wear the American flag. So, like you said, you know, Kid Rock famously has a poncho, an American flag that he cut a hole out of, put it over his head, and he calls it a poncho. And he's out there on stage sweating on the thing, claiming to respect the flag. Meanwhile, it's a violation of the flag code to wear a flag. Secondly, it's a violation of the flag code to change the colors of the American flag. as we have seen done with the thin blue line for police. They have the black and white flag with the one stripe blue. That is a violation of the flag code. You don't get to change the colors for your little pet project.
And it's all over, you know, windows and bumpers of, you know, idiots rolling around with the thin blue line.
Some cops actually have it on their uniform nowadays, which is insanely disrespectful. And talk about saying the quiet part out loud. The thin blue line is not a good thing. That's cops covering for other cops.
Yes, dude. That supporting their brothers and sisters, no matter what, you know. I mean, yeah, I don't know why everyone is in support of the thin blue line. The thin blue line doesn't mean the public supporting police. That means police supporting police no matter what.
Right, exactly, no matter what. And then the last funny part about the flag code is, Nick, do you know the proper way, according to the flag code, how to dispose of an American flag?
I think you're supposed to burn it. I think you are. I mean, I think there's a way to do it, but I think you're supposed to burn it, right?
Yes, that is 100% correct. You were supposed to burn the American flag. Now, there's supposed to be a little ceremony. You're supposed to, like, fold it a certain way and put it in the fire. But whatever, you're supposed to burn the flag to destroy it properly, to retire it. And you may recall last summer, some idiots put a flag out in my backcountry here. After Trump won the election, this flag popped up. And it was out there in the bad weather, getting all tattered and torn. So I came on the show and I said, I'm going to go liberate that thing and I'm going to dispose of it properly and burn it. Because you're also not supposed to let a flag be out 24 hours a day in the weather. It's why you take a flag down at night and there's a ritual to raise it again the next day.
Yeah, you're supposed to treat it always with respect.
Yes, and a whole bunch of people in the clip we posted on, you know, social medias were like, you mother effer, you burn that flag, I'll track you down myself. Like, that's the correct way to dispose of a flag. So if we outlaw burning the flag, how could you possibly dispose of it correctly? Or what if I want to tell you, hey, I've got a flag I want to dispose of, so I'm also going to make a protest out of it. Can I now burn it while protesting?
Yeah, that's a good question, dude. I mean, as we heard, as you stated at the beginning of this, this is an executive order. It really doesn't mean shit. It's a suggestion and what he would like his followers to do. But that's a great way to think about it, dude. Yeah, burn them during protests to just get rid of flags. You know, that it is also highly disrespectful to have a flag. I mean, unless it is symbolic for a certain battle or something like that, if your flag is tattered and torn, it's disrespectful to fly that flag. So
yes, it exactly is. So you're supposed to retire it. I will say the flag I liberated from the nature, it is hanging in my garage. However, it's hanging backwards. Do you know what a backwards American flag means? Because I had a neighbor see my flag hanging backwards, and he told me it was disrespectful.
I think I know what it means when they're upside down, but I don't know backwards, no.
Well, upside down means distress. You know, something is wrong, so that's something usually soldiers would do, put the flag upside down, so you know they're in distress there. But speaking of soldiers, the backwards American flag is what all of our military have on their shoulders, because the backwards flag is battle. Already. Picture back in the old days when they would ride into battle on a horse and the flag would be blowing backwards because they're riding forward. Okay. So that means you're battle ready. You're heading into battle. So it's actually respectful and appropriate to have the flag backwards if you're gearing up for a fight. And ever since Trump won the election, we're gearing up for a fight. So my American flag in my garage
is
backwards.
Did you explain that to your probably Trump-loving neighbor?
Yes, I did. And I saw his eyes spinning around in his head. I'm like, what? Did not know that. Goes against my MAGA beliefs. And then the other problem with Trump said right there is that, okay, so if we burn the flag, mass riots will break out. That's why he's banning it. Okay, so what if I want to burn a flag alone in my backyard, film it, and post it online? You're not starting a riot then?
No, but I mean, Trump makes it sound like you're going to burn the world down. I don't know if he's thinking, you know, also the riots, but also like you don't know how to responsibly burn something. I mean, all of your idiot, you know, redneck loving fans, they're all burning piles out in their yard and stuff. Like, it's just nonsense. And again, it shows you just how out of touch he is, that he doesn't think like something can be burned without starting the world on fire.
I think the bigger point here is Trump claims to love our Constitution. This is the guy that's always hugging the American flag, and he has said multiple times, especially during the campaign, that we will respect the Constitution. And I feel like any MAGA type, when they say they love the Constitution, they're talking about the Second Amendment, and that is it. Because it's obviously a complete disrespect to the Constitution to say that I don't get to protest peacefully in any goddamn way I want, including burning an American flag that I bought. I'm not going to go take my neighbors and burn his, but if I buy a flag and I want to burn it in America, we are supposed to be able to do that. It's why the Supreme Court has upheld it, and it's why this garbage executive order from Trump can't possibly be enforceable.
There's a great guy. You're spot on. There's a great guy that is going around and he rides a motorcycle with an F Trump flag on the back of it. And he looks like he would be a Trump lover. That's what makes part of him great. But he cruises around and all the idiots are like, you know, you take that flag off there right now. And they're getting these debates with him. And usually they're like, oh, I love the Constitution. And he says, oh, well, name some of it for me. And obviously, you know, they can lay freedom to bear arms. You know, they always start with that. But then he says, can you name the branches of government for me? And they stumble and stammer, and he's like, that's what I thought, dude. That's what I thought.
The other, as long as we're talking about the flag code, I'll wrap it up by telling you this. I see it all the time, and I live in Trump country. Yeah. You know, I'm unfortunately in a red state, and a lot of people around here have Trump flags on their flagpoles, and it's very common. The Trump flag is on the top of the flagpole, and the American flag is underneath it. Also a violation of the flag code. American flag is always on top. You don't ever put it below a different flag.
That just shows you right there how much they think of this person, Trump. They worship him, dude. This is another sign that this is a cult. They worship him and put him above the American flag. That's crazy.
Absolutely. And again, you know, add it to the very long list of signs we have an authoritarian trying to run our country, a wannabe a dictator, because you don't try to suppress freedom of speech like this and, you know, the right to protest. I mean, that is just so fundamental to America. Yeah. And essentially, you're trying to legislate my thoughts. Because like I said, the flag code says you can burn the flag for some reasons. So if I want to burn it while I'm protesting, you're going to legislate the side of my brain that's burning it for the protest, but not for the flag code corrected. Like, how could you possibly enforce
that? You can't. That's why it's not a law, dude. You know, it's I don't even think of these executive orders as suggestions anymore. I think these are dog whistles to his cult members that say, hey, this is the plan now. This is what we're working on this week. Follow along.
It's the old own the libs, you know? I mean, I did a story on Really American that just got posted today that is not getting a lot of attention. And so far, it's not getting a ton of views, but I would like everyone to go watch it. It's about a park ranger who just got fired for posting a trans pride flag. And not only is it she did it on her own time. She hung it on El Capitan in Yosemite, and she did it on her own time. She wasn't in uniform. They didn't leave the flag behind. Like, they went out, they hung it on the they were rappelling the face and took it back with them. And then the Trump administration retroactively reworded the law to make that illegal. They made it any flag bigger than like 15 feet, if you hang it on, you know, a national park, is now illegal. So they fired this park ranger and are threatening to prosecute her, or them, I should say, because they're them. They're threatening to prosecute them. They already fired this person from their job. And Trump, when on his first day in office, signed another one of these executive orders, basically saying that the government, especially in your employment, what he said was no government agency can infringe on your First Amendment rights. This person works for the National Park Service, which would be a government agency, who now fired them for protesting, or not even protesting, just, you know, having pride in the trans flag. Yeah. So hypocrisy up and down, left and right. I'm getting sick of using that word. I say it 100 times a day.
It never stops. Hypocrisy. I mean, you can't speak about anything that's going on in our country with this administration without talking about the hypocrisy that we see daily, dude.
Yes. My son, who's about to turn 16, told me the other day, we were talking politics because I do that with my kids, and he told me that when he was younger and would hear me talking about politics with his mom or with you or whatever, he thought that there were two political groups in America. He thought there were liberals and there were hypocriticals.
Well,
the liberals and the hypocriticals are the two parties. That is what a young boy's mind took from those discussions. And he's pretty much spot on. It's the liberals versus the hypocriticals.
Yeah, that's insane, dude. You know, it'd be funny to, I don't know. I mean, I know your kid is in high school, one of them. And I know that they talk about history still, I'm assuming, but it would be interesting for him to know, like, just 20 years ago, what the Republican Party looked like, you know, because it was such a different picture. I mean, it wasn't something that I necessarily even agreed with then, but, you know, it was a lot more palatable than it is now.
Yeah. Now, I mean, we've all lived through that as adults, that the parties used to just have some differences we could agree to disagree on and then still all go to the bingo march together. I don't know why I said bingo. We could all go to do whatever together. You know, we could all hang out, agree to disagree. But it's not like that nowadays. And the sad thing is for kids, for teenagers like mine, they have grown up with almost only Trump ever dominating the national discussion, because he was either running for president, is president, or then re-ran again and is now president. Yeah. So a kid who is 16, like my son, I mean, any memory he still has of his life, because you don't remember much from like five or below, like all he knows is Trump either being in the White House or trying to get back into it. So
isn't that insane?
Jades kids heavily. Yes, and I do think we're breeding a young group of progressive liberals, that the pendulum is going to swing so far the other way that down the road we're going to have a bunch of real smart kids helping to run this country. But right now they're just watching in shock and disgust that this to them is what America is and always has been.
I sure hope you're right, dude. I do. You know, I talked with you a little bit about this a couple of weeks ago where Mark Maron was doing a lot of podcast stuff for his new special, but he had a certain issue that he was talking about with all these comedy bros, like, you know, Theo Vaughn, that whole crew of Kill Tony, all those people that, you know, stepped up and said, like, oh, this is we're freedom of speech. We don't have freedom of speech anymore. And he basically said, like, you've always had freedom of speech, because if you didn't, you know, like, you never went to jail for anything that you said. People didn't like what you said, and they told you they didn't like it, and you stopped, you know, selling tickets to shows maybe, but that's not a freedom of speech issue. But he was talking about how, you know, they all carried this football down the field of, like, we want to be able to joke about the R word, you know, we want to joke about transgender people. And you guys did it. And you've got this crew of people that seem to think it's hilarious, but it's really started to shape our laws. And he's said, like, now that the community is suffering because of all this stuff that you created, like, you're still punching down on them. Like, it's not funny. So I have a thought that a lot of the younger generation, because it's easy to cuddle up next to funny people, you and I know that better than anyone, that they are going to cuddle up with all these ideas, dude, that this is right. You know, you can talk this way about people. And then when it starts leaking into politics, oh, what do we do now?
Now, my son had told me a year or two ago, and I've shared the story on the show before, that if he didn't know politics from my side of things, that he would be a Trump supporter, because that's what he sees on social media. All the other kids and bro dudes are all pro-Trumpers. So he was like, if I didn't know that the guy was insane, I would just think he's cool because everyone's kind of talking about him. And a lot of comedians like Theo Vaughn and Kill Tony and Shane Gillis and Ryan Schultz,
Andrew Schultz.
They're all starting to lean to the right. And I am so sick of them hearing, talking about cancel culture. Well, Shane Gillis is, you know, got hit shows, selling out arenas. He's on SNL. Kill Tony's got one of the biggest podcasts on the planet. Theo Vaughn is a multimillionaire. Like, bite me.
Yeah.
Chappelle is selling out arenas. No one's canceling anybody. The people that have gotten canceled are people that are raping and molesting people that have nothing to do with their comedy. Right. Then their comedy gets canceled because no one wants to support that stuff. But comedy has not been canceled. It's not going to be. As we've said before, or at least I feel, you can joke about anything you want to. Question is it funny?
Yeah.
You can joke about the Holocaust if you do it in a funny, thought-provoking way. If you're doing it for cheap laughs, then you deserve to get booed off stage.
Yeah, and you have to, you just, that's part of being a comic and putting new material out, is you have to see, does an audience think it's funny? Because, yeah, I mean, if they don't, then, right. Yeah, you're probably going to get canceled.
Yeah, exactly.
I just don't want them raising the next... people that are going to vote, like, oh yeah, these guys are bros, they hang with the president, they also do stupid shit, you know, these guys are cool. Like, I don't want that. I'm frightened about that. And Steve, we may not have to worry about it, because I'd like to roll into a new story and talk a little bit about the health of our commander-in-chief, if we could.
All right. Yes, please. Just as a reminder, my Deadpool prediction for Trump of natural causes is 2026. I don't think he's making it another full year in a few months. Like, the guy seems to be falling apart.
Okay, so let's take a little time machine just to get everybody watching the podcast up to current speed. I think it was about the 10th of the month. Carolyn Leavitt came out and started talking about addressing some of these health concerns, okay?
I know that many in the media have been speculating about bruising on the president's hand and also swelling in the president's legs. So in the effort of transparency, the president wanted me to share a note from his physician with all of you today. In recent weeks, President Trump noted mild swelling in his lower legs. In keeping with routine medical care and out of an abundance of caution, this concern was thoroughly evaluated by the White House medical unit. The president underwent a comprehensive examination, including diagnostic vascular studies. Bilateral lower extremity venous Doppler ultrasounds were performed and revealed chronic venous insufficiency, a benign and common condition, particularly in individuals over the age of 70.
Get that off the screen.
Importantly, there was no evidence of deep vein thrombosis or arterial disease. Laboratory testing included a complete blood count, comprehensive metabolic panel, coagulation profile, D-dimer, B-type, natriuretic peptide, and cardiac biomarkers. All results were within normal limits. Additionally, recent photos of the president have shown minor bruising on the back of his hand. This is consistent with minor soft tissue irritation from frequent handshaking, and the use of aspirin, which is taken as part of a standard cardiovascular prevention regimen. This is a well-known and benign side effect of aspirin therapy. The president remains in excellent health, which I think all of you witness on a daily basis here. The president wanted me to share that note with all of you. I'm happy to take further questions on it. We will provide the memorandum from the president's physician to all of you, as we always do.
So you got a certificate.
Yeah. Written in crayon.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I don't know. I don't know who this medical staff is, but, you know, we've talked about his health for a long time as far as him not releasing stuff, and the stuff that is released is from a quack doctor. I mean, from his ear being shot. Like, can you believe that, dude? An assassination attempt. Okay. Supposedly he got shot in the ear with an AR-15. Okay. And
sure. And we got no information on it.
Never saw a picture. Never saw information. It was healed miraculously in like 2 or 3 days' time. He took the maxi pad off his ear.
It's God's work.
When he had his physicals done, you know, we all know the line of bullshit that was on that chart of his height and weight and ultimate health, stuff like that. So now, do we think they're going to be honest with us when it comes to things that he can't hide?
There will never be a time that I think they're going to be honest with us. Even when he does die, I'm not sure that's going to be the truth. I will need to see the rotting orange covered body still. But so, yeah, Leavitt there said back, Propaganda Barbie said back in February before this all really came out that, yeah, he was getting those bruises from shaking hands so much, which please. And then just it was either today or yesterday, because Trump over the weekend had a whole new slew of bruises. Now, on the other hand, he's not even trying with the makeup. I mean, it was so sloppy the way he covered it. And then he was in the Oval Office, just every picture, he kept putting his hand on the other hand, like trying to cover it. So she said again today that it's because the man shakes hands all the time. They've already told us the somewhat truth that he's got this CVS thing or whatever the hell it's called. Walgreens, yeah. CVS, CBI, sorry, CBI. And so why wouldn't you just say that we've already addressed this, the bruising is part of that. But I will tell you, I did a whole story on this, and my dad is a doctor. I got his input on this. It is bullshit that aspirin will cause bruising like that. Aspirin is a blood thinner, but it is the lowest level blood thinner there is, and it is not known to cause bruising like that. But the more intense, the stronger blood thinners do cause bruising just like that. But you'd only be on the stronger blood thinner if you're in a more serious condition. So they are lying about one end or the other. The obvious assumption is the problem is way worse than they're letting on. And those massive cankles, I know the picture was a joke, but just in real life, his massive cankles, that should be all you need to know. This is more severe than they're telling us, and they're lying about
these bruises. Second picture of his foot up close in the suit pants was not a joke. That's his actual ankles. Those naked ankles. Yeah, I mean, that's when he takes his girdle off, but... I think there's a massive problem. I have such a bad memory and I can't remember who, but somebody was talking about getting ready to do an interview with Trump. And like 5-10 minutes, whatever, before the interview, Trump was in his dressing room and he asked this person, it was a man. He was like, "You come in and put some makeup on." He was like, "No, I don't need any makeup. You know, I'm good to go just this way." And he said he walked in and watched Trump kind of do his makeup routine. And he was putting it everywhere. He was putting it, you know, on his face, on his hands and everything. And like you said, I mean, we're seeing bruises on his left hand now. There's not that many left-handed people in the world that he is getting bruises from shaking hands. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Even if someone else is left-handed, have you ever done a left-handed handshake?
No.
Lefties know how to shake with their right.
That's true, dude. I don't think I've ever done it with my left hand.
No. Lefties know they're in the minority, so they've adapted to the rest of us. So, yes, Trump has been shaking backwards so many times that he's got bruises.
I will say that a lot of those, you know, when he meets dictators and even leaders of other countries, like some of those polling back and forth games that he plays with handshakes, you know, trying to strike dominance is hysterical. But even those wouldn't create those bruises. Something is seriously wrong with this man. And, you know, you would think that, like, the president probably gets the best health care you could get, right? Because, A, he doesn't have to pay for it. B, he's the most powerful person in the world. So they're not able to figure it out at this point. So that's a little scary for him. And maybe, okay, you know, your life has run its course, dude. How old is he?
79. Yeah, we're ready to be done with you. A lot of people are wondering, you know, just a week or two back, he said something about, you know, that he wonders if he's going to get into heaven because they're all saying, "I'm not doing a good job," or "I'm not doing well." And we all took that to mean that we all just think he's a terrible human, so he's not going to get into heaven, which obviously he won't. But now people are wondering, like, when he said that they're saying he's not doing well, was that him speaking just with that no filter thing, as in my doctors are saying I'm not doing well, so now I'm wondering if I'm going to get into heaven
or not?
That's
interesting, dude. I didn't even think about it. But yeah, that's the way he speaks. That stuff comes out of him all the time. The other interesting point that you bring up with the whole heaven talk, it just goes to show you, it's one more step, not that we need it, to show that Trump is actually doesn't believe or know anything about God, because they're saying I'm not doing well. Like, if you're a Christian, you know there's no other judge. I mean, people can say whatever they want about you, dude. God's the one who decides if you get into heaven or not. So, guy's an idiot.
Right. Yep. No, exactly. And then real quick, what do you think about this catheter conspiracy theory going around? Are you up on that?
I mean, I know that I've seen several pictures and even medical professionals talking about the fact that he is wearing a catheter in a lot of his pictures. You know, they've seen it. Aside from that,
seems like it from the outline on the pants. Seems like it. But again, the only reason you're wearing a catheter 24/7, or certain days or whatever, you got to have a serious freaking problem. A colostomy bag would be one thing, but a catheter, you're not able to urinate on your own? That would suggest some pretty serious internal organ issues.
You know, it's interesting because my dad, it's funny, we were just talking about this. My dad had to wear a catheter towards the end of his life because he had prostate cancer. And prostate cancer is one of those cancers that they say if you live long enough, every man will get prostate cancer, you know, if you live long enough. So that could be a possibility, dude. I mean, I don't want to diagnose him off rumors or guesses, but I mean, if he had prostate cancer, he might have a catheter.
No, for sure. I mean, I'm just skimming through YouTube comments. A lot of people are talking about him being in congestive heart failure, which would be indicative of the CVI thing and cankles and the bruising, circulation issues. The heart's not pumping enough blood and oxygen. Right. I mean, yeah, that certainly could be the case. And someone's commenting about the fact that he wears diapers that you and I have been talking about for years. Is that part of this? I mean, who knows? But the guy is falling apart, and I'm not surprised at all. I'm not surprised that somebody who doesn't believe in exercise could even make it to 79, let alone make it much further.
Yeah,
past.
I mean, he's got good family genes, apparently, because that guy doesn't exercise, you know? So, yeah, who knows? You could be right in your prediction. You've been right in many before. So, am I allowed to say hopefully you're right?
I think so. We're talking about him dying of natural causes. We're not allowed to wish death on him by somebody assassinating him. That's illegal. It's not what we're saying. Write that down everywhere. But if the man dies of natural causes, I'll be real honest with you. I have been thinking about what am I going to say publicly when he does die? Because in any normal situation, I would never dance on somebody's grave. Mm. Even if somebody I don't like dies, I don't dance on their grave. But when Trump dies, I think I'm going to be insanely insincere with the audience if I don't tell you I am freaking happy the man is gone from this planet. Or do I zip it and just take the high road?
I don't know. I think in order for me to be able to zip it and take the high road, I need to take a couple weeks of vacation. I don't think I can be on the air and, you know, not say like, you know, it's probably pretty good.
We've always kept it real with the audience, so I'm pretty sure I will be dancing on his grave, but I guess time will tell. Let's see what the circumstances are. Maybe he'll find Jesus by then.
Maybe so, dude. That's funny.
I said that. I said that out loud.
That's funny. Funny to think about. All right. Well, we'll see what happens with his health, and who knows? Just wait and see.
All right. Do you want to talk about martial law or sex workers predicting the future?
Ooh, that sounds intriguing. Intriguing to me. Let's talk about sex workers.
I think I knew which one you were going to go for, but all right, this isn't a joke. All right, this was an article published today in the Huffington Post. While some people anxiously watch the stock market for signs of recession, others look for more subtle cues that the economy is in trouble. One of them is Catherine DeNoir, a manager of a legal brothel, a PhD candidate in organizational psychology, and an online influencer. DeNoir first noticed a decline in business at her brothel right after Trump was elected. Strippers in America are also feeling the pinch. Dancer and influencer Vulgar Vanity, have fun Googling her, said that when she first started dancing in 2022 in Texas, she can earn six figures by dancing in only a handful of the big events in Austin. She just said that, quote, I didn't even bother working South by Southwest because I went in on the first night to the club. It was completely empty. I made no money at all. There is an actual thing called the Stripper Index. And David Kindness, a certified public accountant and financial expert, says that when tips slow down and foot traffic thins out, it often means that people are holding on to their extra cash, a sign that a recession is coming.
That's fascinating. And I think it probably has a lot of scientific value to it because, you know, they always talk about, oh, are you going to have any disposable income to spend? I mean, that is the key of disposable income. Like, let's go out and see some strippers and shoot dollar bills out of a gun. You know, like that's disposable income. So they're not seeing any, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I've heard some economists look at like the McDonald's index, that when people stop eating at McDonald's quite as much, it means they're hurting on cash, and that's a sign a recession is coming. But yeah, you're spot on. I mean, stripper money is the definition of disposable money, dirty, sticky, nasty money. So yeah, if people are going out and spending less or not going to the clubs as much. And by the way, I'm in Nevada. We have seen the numbers in Vegas go drop and down. Like Tahoe's numbers have been up and down. Like Canadians are boycotting a lot of America. I mean, tourism is down. Disposable income is down. So that does tend to be an indication that either people are fearful because of what they're seeing, or that the recession is actually starting to trickle in, which we're seeing other indications beyond the stripper index. But that one, that's a poll you can watch go up and down all night long.
We're taking a hard look at that one, okay?
Right. And it's further proof, I would say, that the fact that sex workers aren't getting screwed as much means our economy is getting screwed. It's a screw-to-screw ratio, and we're out of whack.
We are way out of whack.
No pun intended.
That is fascinating. I love that story. And you're right. We need to think about real life stuff. You know, when you talk about the McDonald's theory, like you notice when restaurants start doing like the $5 bags, you know, like making things cheaper, it's because, you know, they're hurting for things. One thing that I'm confused about, you know, Trump has been calling Jerome Powell an asshat for a while, telling him, lower the interest rates, lower the interest rates. And he says, it's not time, dude. I can't do it. It looks like he's getting closer to possibly lowering interest rates. So what does that mean? He's being pressured into it, or maybe we're not heading for a recession?
Well, I mean, there's a few reasons to raise or cut rates. You don't always cut them for good reasons. You can cut rates to try to stave off a recession, because if you think spending is going to go down, if people aren't buying houses or cars, if you cut rates, that might incentivize people. So I wouldn't take that necessarily as a straight-up good sign. Now, Powell has been pretty steadfast on his beliefs. So if he's doing it, I don't think it's because he's being pressured. He would have already caved by now. But we should not take that as a sign that that's a good thing necessarily, because inflation is ticking up. Spending is going down. We are seeing some, well, I think the number of 63% of companies are currently absorbing these tariffs, but that's not going to keep lasting. So sometimes you cut rates to try to incentivize the economy because you see it on the decline. So listen, I'm trying to buy a new car this year, and with the way rates are right now, it's not happening. So there might be a short-term window here if rates go down where that may spur people like me to go buy a car, buy a house or whatever. But it doesn't always mean, like when we're giving away stimulus checks, it's usually because things are bad. So we'll see.
Yep, it'll be interesting. And you know what? We see this hate, this vitriol, this dictatorship spreading all across the country. What we witnessed in D.C., especially over the last week, we are starting to see spread like a cancer, or we're hearing that it's going to. And should we talk about the next place where they are heading? I've got a little video here I can play if you want to discuss.
We should. I am worried about this in general, but I am very worried about the city in particular that he brought up. So go ahead and play whatever you got.
And we haven't had to bring in the regular military, which we're willing to do. We have to. And after we do this, we'll go to another location and we'll make it safe also. We're going to make our country very safe. We're going to make our cities very, very safe. Chicago's a mess. You have an incompetent mayor, grossly incompetent. And we'll straighten that one out probably next. That'll be our next one after this. And it won't even be tough.
It won't even be tough, dude.
Wow. Mr. State's rights going to be militarizing local cities and governments. And when it comes to abortion, he's fine letting the states make up their own damn mind, but not when it comes to any other issue.
Yeah, and I've got a reason for that coming up as we continue to talk about this conversation. We see some alarm bells going off, but you know they put weapons, guns, in the hands of the National Guard in D.C., loaded guns. And they're saying, oh, yeah, that's going to happen, too, in Chicago. The truth of the matter is he's talking about crime rates in Chicago, especially for homicides. If you actually look at the statistics, they've been heading in a downward you know, for, I don't know, quite a while now. Shootings are down nearly 40%, robberies down 35%, homicides down over 30%, despite Trump's rhetoric that, you know, things have never been worse.
Right. And I will tell you, yeah, the facts don't back up some sort of disaster that would require the government, the federal government, to go in there. But, you know, listen, we know a few people, including one of the people at Really American in Chicago, but not to be selfish or anything, but my firstborn, it just started their sophomore year at a college in Chicago. So my firstborn kid lives in Chicago and is a chip off the old block, a proud progressive liberal, likes to go to protests. I could see them not maybe throwing a sandwich at one of them, but certainly, you know, telling them they're a fascist and being part of protests. Sure. So for every reason there is, I don't want to see Trump try to start taking over American cities. But Chicago would be the last on the list.
Followed by Washington.
You know, followed by almost anywhere else. But let's talk about some of those facts, because I pulled up the top 20 cities in America that have the worst crime rates. Number one on the list is Memphis, wow. Tennessee, highest crime rate, obviously a red state. Number two, St. Louis, red state. Little Rock, Arkansas, red state. Minneapolis, Minnesota, blue state. Detroit, Michigan. Detroit, unfortunately, went red last time, so another red state. Kansas City, Missouri, red state. New Orleans, red state. Cleveland, Ohio, red state. Birmingham, Alabama, red state. Houston, Texas, red. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, red. Orlando, Florida, red. Baltimore, Maryland, there's the second blue one on the top 20. Atlanta, Georgia, red. Stockton, California, there's number three for blue. New York City, number four for blue. Phoenix, Arizona, red. Los Angeles, California, there's number five. Then Las Vegas and Miami. So out of the top 20 most crime-ridden cities, only five of them are in blue states, and none of them are Washington, D.C., none of them are Chicago, none of them are San Francisco. And San Francisco and Chicago are the two most demonized cities by the right in America.
Yes. No, it's a great point that you bring up. Gavin Newsom was talking to somebody recently, and he said, oh, the top nine states for highest in murder are all red states. You know, it's disingenuous to say this is a Democrat problem. And I saw that Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla pulled back into their Loveline days, and they're talking how Gavin Newsom is so disingenuous because, yes, he is right. The top nine are in red states, but they're in blue cities. Do you think that matters at all, Steve?
No, of course it doesn't matter. And blue, I mean, first of all, we know that almost every city tends to lean to the left, and it tends to be the population hubs in, you know, in whatever state it is. But I don't consider Memphis to be a real liberal city, or St. Louis. Little Rock is a liberal city. Kansas City, Cleveland, Birmingham, Alabama, Orlando.
Phoenix even? I mean, I don't see it that way at all.
No, it's insanely disingenuous. And I will say, we have talked about many times that, yeah, we got three branches of government. We've got the judiciary, the executive, and the legislative. And it's the judiciary that we're all relying on right now, the judges in America. And the Supreme Court, they've done a few things that were practically minded, but a lot that have just been partisan left and right. But interesting story came out today on this topic of Trump's, you know, lawless takeover, his essentially martial law of Washington, D.C. So a search so blatantly illegal that, quote, a high school student would know that it violated the Constitution. That is how a federal judge described the search of a Washington, D.C. man who was charged with unlawful possession of a firearm last week during President Trump's takeover of the city's police force. The man, Torres Riley, who was black, was headed into a Trader Joe's grocery store when local cops stopped him to look through his bag, backed up by the federal law enforcement agencies. Mm. The judge said from the bench in D.C. federal court today that the police had no reason to stop Riley except for the color of his skin. He said it was absolutely maddening and had some savage words. He said the Sixth Amendment doesn't get thrown out the window because the government has decided to make a show out of arresting people.
Completely. Spot on. And we're going to start seeing that spread like a virus, you know. And it's all these communities, you know, that are full of black and brown people that are going to hold the brunt end of all of this, you know.
Of course. All of Trump world rules are used to weaponize against they don't like. You know, that park ranger I brought up earlier in the show. Do you think if MAGA people went up on El Capitan in Yosemite and hung a giant Trump flag that they would all be fired from their federal jobs and facing prosecution?
Not, dude. Of Trump would be not. Saying it's a beautiful thing the way they hung that flag up there, you know.
Exactly. So it's good to hear a judge, you know, yet again point out that Trump is wiping his ass with our Constitution. Yeah. Second Amendment, no one's going to touch that. But every other amendment, he is going after them, people.
He's going after them. And I've got a video I'll play for you that's going to kind of bookend what we're talking about here. Over the years, Steve and I have been fans of Bill Maher, but more recently, we've kind of lost it for him because he's gone a little wacko with everything. I'm going to play you a video of him asking a question that I think is brilliant about everything we're talking about right now.
What's going on in Washington, D.C.? I'll ask you this first, because he does this magic trick. You know, he's passing out pizza, and it's all about big balls, and we're all laughing at what's going on in D.C. Yeah, he's passing out pizza to the troops. If there was a slow-moving coup, let me just describe some of the steps, and you tell me if I'm being paranoid. First, create a masked police force. Get people used to looking at that. Normalize snatching people off the street. Get them used to that. Normalize seeing the National Guard and the military on the street. Then start talking about crime in the capital, which is basically, you know, has always been a fairly crime-ridden city. This is our nation's capital where elections are decided. And then have, because the crime is so bad, have other states start sending their troops, not just the National Guard there in D.C., but now at least six other states are sending their troops, which then Trump can then federalize. So you're having many states' troops on the ground there, and now they're under federal control. So you have in the Capitol a sort of permanent police presence. So when an election dispute might come up, just hypothetically, I mean, I don't want to be a big pessimist, and I'm going to pretend for the rest of the duration that the Democrats do have a chance of winning, and they might win the next election. I just don't think they're ever going to take power. Because this is what's going to happen. Because I think this coup is going to go off a lot smoother than the last one.
That's frightening.
Yeah. Spot on. I don't even know that it's a slow-moving coup anymore. It seems to be moving at a pretty good clip.
Yeah. No, it completely does. But for, you know, that's because we are involved in all of this. For people who are taking a break from politics or don't keep an eye on what's going on, it is slow enough that people, they're not going to hear about it. They're not going to be like, oh, this is terrible. So, yeah, I mean, snatching people off the streets, you know, all of this is going to be normalized before we know it.
Yeah. Listen, I've said this a zillion times, the classic, what if Obama did this? And the short-sightedness of the right, that they are okay with all of this because their wannabe king dictator is doing it. But you're setting new precedents for presidents. And what's going to happen if a Gavin Newsom or an AOC or some liberal we've never even heard of gets elected president someday and wants to swing this all the way over to the other side? Do you think for a frickin' second that they would be okay with any of it?
And you always remind all of us, the pendulum swings both ways. It's going to come back at some point, whether that's the next cycle or the next. But the only difference being, I don't know. Am I naive to think that if Gavin Newsom were made president, that all of this would end that day and would never be revisited? That, oh, I like having the powers he created.
Listen, that's a classic conundrum, that the left could do crazy things, but we don't because we're not crazy. It's the Obama, you know, they go low, we go high. That's always been the mindset. And Trump is testing norms, you know, left and right. So would your average Democrat actually do it? No, they probably wouldn't. But we have raised the bar so high that I think we could probably get away with a few more progressive things that wouldn't even see, they would pale in comparison to what's going on right now. Yeah. So could it happen? Yeah, it absolutely could, because we're setting new precedents. And this whole thing of Obama or of Trump saying that Obama broke the law in 2016, like he should be prosecuted. You can't. You and your Supreme Court gave presidents blanket immunity. So that applies to Obama, too. Yeah. So it would apply to the next, you know, Democratic president, too. Whatever the hell they do, whether it's cheating on their wife like Clinton did and lying under oath about it, or making billions of dollars and dumping on the Constitution and committing crimes and assault like Trump's done. Like, any Democrat can also do that. But I don't know. You and a lot of other people I trust and put a lot of faith in are wondering, like Bill Maher, will Trump ever hand the reins of power over to a Democrat? I just don't think we're that far gone. But I've been a little naive and wrong about Trump's authoritarian overreach before. Yeah. So I could be wrong on this one, too, because he's already overtly trying to rig next year's election with all the gerrymandering we're seeing in Texas, because he knows he is probably going to lose the House and that would short circuit him
completely. And he's planting these little seeds all over. You know, he's constantly planting seeds. When I see him, even in the Oval Office or the press room, press asking him questions, they'll ask a direct question like, oh, hey, FIFA is coming into town and you're cleaning up for him. Like, how will you tell other cities to clean up and beautify the area for people coming in? He doesn't take 1 second to answer that question, but he says things like, we got a huge crime problem, you know, and starts touting why he's doing certain things, and there's never a follow-up like, oh, you didn't answer my question. They set him up all the time for him to just tout his bullshit and repeat it over and over again, and it just becomes the norm.
No, it's absolutely true. And just real quick, because we're almost out of time here, I do love the enthusiasm I'm seeing for Gavin Newsom. We're seeing it in the comment section on all of our stuff. We're seeing people like Bill Maher praising him for trolling Trump how he's doing right now. And it does appear that Gavin might even be taking the phrase MAGA back with his new flag that he put out, M-A-G-A, Make America Gavin Again. I freaking love the way he is fighting fire with fire and satire versus reality. It's brilliant. And have you seen the new Trump or mega, the new Newsom store, I guess you want to call it?
Dude.
The merch he's selling.
It?
He's opened up a store like Trump has, and he's selling Gavin merchandise. One of them is the MAGA flag, Make America Gavin Again. But he's also selling Newsom 2026 coffee mugs. Because he's like, hey, term limits don't apply to you. Maybe we'll destroy you in 2026 instead of 2028. He's got a T-shirt that says Trump is not hot. He's got his own red hats. Did you see Trump the other day debuted this Trump was right about everything garbage
hat? He hasn't
hat?
Taken it off, you know.
So Newsom's got a Newsom was right about everything hat. And he's got a red hat that just says real patriot. Which I seriously may need to order some of these items.
You know that is just a knife in Trump's, you know, craw. Like, oh my gosh, he hates that, dude. The fact that he's using, it's like mocking somebody when you, you know, you repeat everything that they say. Like that starts to get old real quick. And it's going to be funny to see Trump spiral off that. I love that he's doing it.
It is absolutely hilarious. It's brilliant. And yeah, it is fighting fire with fire, but in a more highbrow intelligent sort of way. Because if Gavin meant any of this, that he was, you know, America's most popular, best looking governor, I would say, dude, you're insane. We're not voting for you. But obviously he's doing it as satire and it's driving MAGA crazy. Fox News won't shut up about it. And his popularity has shot up nationally. Gavin Newsom's popularity shot up amongst Democrats. Like, it actually is working.
No, it's fantastic, dude. And I'm here for it. And hopefully he just keeps it going. It has to get tiring to even say the stuff that he's saying. But knowing that it's coming from a great place and that it's bothering Trump, I think he'll be able to sustain it.
Well, and we've been talking since the election about the fact that the, you know, favorability of the Democratic Party is dropping off. And it's because who are we supposed to be excited about? The party got blown up. We're trying to regroup and re-strategize. And from the ashes, a phoenix is arising. Like, Newsom is starting to set himself apart. And he is starting to lead by example. Right. So, you know, just be patient, people. And just skimming real quick here. Let's see here. Gavin does Dallas, somebody says. Newsom is my kind of man. The red cap, like a siren yelling, I'm really stupid, but that's why we need our own red cap. Any tiny victories at the moment, you know, praising Newsom here. I mean, there's just comment after comment about Gavin Newsom. This just reminds me of the last election. It reminds me of the Obama era.
Yeah.
When out of nowhere, Obama started gaining all this popularity and people started getting behind him. And that crossed over to the center into some people that didn't want to vote Republican anymore. Like, it is happening in real time. So all of these negative favorabilities of the Democratic Party, just ride the storm out, people, because we're going to be okay.
Rachel and I will often say, like, if we see an old speech from Obama come on TV, you know, oftentimes it'll put us both almost in tears of just like, oh, this is what it sounds like to be inspired and have some hope for change and everything.
Right.
Like, Gavin Newsom has that ability. And he also has all the other factors of being a very intelligent person who's been around this stuff for a long time and done the job well. So,
Yes, that's the massive difference. Newsom actually does have the education and the background and the experience and all of that stuff. I was in California for nearly 20 years. I've been watching that man for a long time. He is the guy. He does have the it factor. He can get upstate Pennsylvania to vote for him. He can get parts of Wisconsin to vote for him. Like, he can cross over in ways that our previous candidates clearly could not, even though we supported them and voted for them and all that. Like, I would ride this wave, everybody.
Well, we'll see what happens, dude. But, yeah, it's something good to I just want to hitch my train to it right now. I mean, until something better comes along, I'm not afraid to change. I'm not in a cult here, but I like what I'm seeing.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, huge thanks to everyone commenting. Our show has spiked a bit in recent days, and we had a good audience watching today. So thank you for all of that. We have been live, but this will be archived on the Really American Live page, so you can add your comments and share this. You know, Nick and I are trying to fight the good fight like everyone here at Really American. So help us spread this show, you know, promote it, like it, share it, comment.
Yep. We appreciate you being along for the ride, and thanks for joining us for an early week in review podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
And that will bring another fantastic, compelling episode of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve to a close. Have a good rest of your day, y'all. We'll see you next Friday. And in the meantime, why don't you check out our socials? We're available everywhere, except for that X platform thingamajiggy. And that lie social. Some people call it truth social, but we're not on it. Anywhere else, you'll find us. Our website, thevocalminority.net. Tutu Dalu. We'll see you next time, baby.